Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I just got back from my month-long trip to India and China, and I know a lot of you expect and you've been asking, where is the slideshow, where are the videos? Just now coming. I have to categorize because I was in Vrindavan, associated with Dina Bandhu, a lot of nectar there. I was in Mayapur, a lot of nectar about the new temple. And in China, associating with devotees there. So I'm going to categorize things and do a few presentations. But for today, we're going to speak about the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. This is in chapter 4 of Adi Lila. So we'll touch on the beginning part of that chapter. And then this verse that's on the board, this CC is not Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Chaitanya Chandramrita, which is given to us by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati. And while I was in Mayapur for the ILS meetings, this is ISKCON Leadership Sangha, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he gave a very nice seminar entitled Srila Prabhupada Gave Us Everything. So this was his seed verse for his seminar, and you'll see how it ties into today's topic. So first, those of you who have the book, you can read along. We'll just do the first, I think about 15 or 20 verses of the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila, and then we'll discuss this verse that's on the board. We've been hearing extensively over the last few days about the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And so today we're going to concentrate on the internal reasons. Well, first of all, read the chapter summary. It's not that long and it's very informative. In this chapter of the epic Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has stressed that Lord Chaitanya appeared for three principal purposes of his own. The first purpose was to relish the position of Srimati Radharani, who is the prime reciprocator of transcendental love of Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is a reservoir of transcendental loving transactions with Srimati Radharani. The subject of those loving transactions is the Lord himself, and Radharani is the object. Thus the subject, the Lord, wanted to relish the loving mellow in the position of the object, Radharani. So many times we hear, especially in the West, God is love. All you need is love, 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 love. But pure love is purely on the spiritual platform. The love that we try to taste on the material platform is just a pale imitation. It's a shadow. And therefore, we don't find the satisfaction that we are looking for. As we were reading on Thursday night in the Bhakti house, that the heart and the tongues of the materially conditioned soul is like a desert. And if you go into a desert with just a drop of water or even a bottle of water, what good is that going to do? It just gives you a false hope. So the love that the materialists try to exchange never works out. We see that. It never works out. Especially in Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel, something always comes in to break up your fun. No matter how carefully you plan, you know, I have my house here and I have this job and I live here and this gated community and... But there's no gate on this material planet, on this earth planet, that can keep out death, old age, disease, the miseries of material life. No gates can keep those out. Not even Bill Gates. No gates can keep out the miseries of material life. He's getting old. He's about our age, maybe a few years younger, actually. And, you know, he's feeling the pressure of time. Steve Jobs, also big, big industrialist, computer genius, lots of billions of dollars, but couldn't save him from dying from pancreatic cancer. So the miseries of material life don't respect your plans. Don't respect your gated communities. They don't respect anything. They're there just to remind us that this is not our home. So this is the love that we're all looking for. We want to taste, just like Lord Chaitanya came, Krishna came in the form of Lord Chaitanya to taste this unparalleled love of Radha Krishna. This is what we're looking for. So the second reason for his appearance was to understand the transcendental mellow of himself. Lord Krishna is all sweetness. Radharani's attraction for Krishna is sublime, and to experience that attraction and understand the transcendental sweetness of himself, he accepted the mentality of Radharani. So many people say they believe in God, they even say they love God, but they can't explain, and this is like We didn't make this up. This is a thing that stumped philosophers since time immemorial. If God is good, God is love, God is everything like this, then why do bad things happen to good people? They can't figure that out. Very simple, we know the laws of karma. They don't understand that. But yes, God is all sweetness. But to taste that sweetness again, to associate with that sweetness, we have to be of the same nature. Prabhupada said, if you want to associate with fire, you have to be fire. So if you want to associate with spiritual sweetness, spiritual love, spiritual light, then you have to be on the same platform. You can't taste it from the material platform. So Krishna, again, is coming as Lord Chaitanya to taste his own sweetness and to indicate to us that this is the sweetness that we're looking for in life. This is the real taste that we're looking for. We will not find it with another conditioned soul. And this is a trick that Maya plays on us every single lifetime. We take birth, we grow up. For the first part of our life, we don't care about the opposite sex or whatever. It's just all about playing and having fun. And then puberty hits, and then you get older, and then you start looking around for the life partner or some partner, somebody to make me happy. But the real partner that we're looking for is Krishna. The real mellow that we're looking for is association with Krishna. So this is another thing that Lord Chaitanya is indicating to us. The third reason that Lord Chaitanya appeared was to enjoy the bliss tasted by Radharani. The Lord thought that undoubtedly Radharani enjoyed his company, and he enjoyed the company of Radharani. But the exchange of transcendental mellow between the spiritual couple was more pleasing to Srimati Radharani than to Sri Krishna. Radharani felt more transcendental pleasure in the company of Krishna, and he could understand without taking her position. But for Sri Krishna to enjoy in the position of Srimati Radharani was impossible, because that position was completely foreign to him. Krishna is the transcendental male, and Radharani is the transcendental female. Therefore, to know the transcendental pleasure of loving Krishna, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Lord Chaitanya, accepting the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. So, again, this is the third, impetus that Lord Chaitanya is pushing us toward. Because, again, we try to imitate all of these things. We try to imitate the loving relationships that exist purely on the spiritual platform. We try to taste our own sweetness. We're always advertising how sweet we are. We want to convince other people how sweet we are, even though there's so much evidence to the contrary. Still, we like to try to, advertise that we're all sweet and we're all love and this and that. But the real love, the real sweetness, all of that is on the spiritual platform. So Lord Chaitanya came for the external reasons, as we have heard extensively this week, of saving the conditioned soul, introducing this chanting of Hare Krishna. But these are the internal mellows that he was tasting himself, and that is available to us when we purify our consciousness. Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to fulfill these confidential desires and also to preach the special significance of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and to answer the call of Advaita Prabhu. These were secondary reasons. Sri Sarup Damodar Goswami was the principal figure among Lord Chaitanya's confidential devotees. The records of his diary have revealed these confidential purposes of the Lord. These revelations have been confirmed by the statements of Srila Rupa Goswami in his various prayers and poems, one of which is very famous. If we actually follow Prabhupada's guidance and offer everything we eat, then we chant this every day. Anyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Tushaya Namaha. He's glorifying Lord Chaitanya as being the most magnanimous avatar of all time, because he's freely giving this love of Krishna for no price. No price. We heard when Brigapati read so many examples of Lord Chaitanya just giving love of Godhead to completely unqualified people, that Muslim governor who was a meat eater, drunkard, he would harass devotees. Still, Lord Chaitanya bestowed love of God on him. So this is the Lord's special pastime in Kali Yuga. We know Krishna appears once in the day of Brahma, and in the Dwapara Yuga, and the very next Kali Yuga, he comes back as his own devotee, Lord Chaitanya, to teach us the art of devotional service. So only the confidential devotees knew this. When Lord Chaitanya saw, Rupa Goswami actually wrote that verse in a palm leaf and left it in the thatched roof of the cottage where Lord Chaitanya was staying. And when Lord Chaitanya came back and read it, he said, "How did you know my heart? How did you know?" Because this is Lord Chaitanya's mood of giving freely love of Godhead to everybody. This chapter also specifically describes the difference between lust and love. So we won't get really that far into it, but it's a pretty well-known verse where Kaviraj Goswami says that. Atmendra priti vancha tare balikam krishnendra priti icha prema dharinam. He said the desire to satisfy your own senses, that is called lust. Sometimes we don't know how to define lust. What is kama? What is lust? This is a very succinct and direct definition. Any desire that we have to satisfy our own senses, that is called lust. And krishnendra priti icha prema dharinam. Any desire to satisfy Krishna's senses, that is called prema. So we can easily judge where we are as we go through the day. The plans that I'm making, am I making plans to satisfy my senses, my mind, or am I making plans to satisfy Krishna in parampara? Again, not directly. Prabhupada said, don't be impotent. Don't jump over. You have to go through Krishna's representative. You cannot go directly to Krishna. Okay, so we'll read just a few verses and then we'll discuss this verse on the board. Text number one. If you've been reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in every chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj gives a little verse of glorification of Lord Chaitanya. And they're all different and they're all sweet. And so I recommend, if you haven't noticed that, go back and notice them and maybe even try to memorize them. I've memorized quite a few. Anyway, this one from the fourth chapter, he says, Sri Chaitanya Prasadena Tadrupasya Vinirnayam Balopi Kurute Shastram Drishtva Vrajavilasinaha. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Vraja, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. All glory to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glory to Lord Nityananda, all glory to Sri Advaita Acharya, and all glory to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. I have described the meaning of the fourth verse. Now, O devotees, kindly hear the explanation of the fifth verse. Just to explain the original verse, I shall first suggest its meaning. I have given the essential meaning of the fourth verse. This incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, descends to propagate the chanting of the holy name and spread love of God. Although this is true, this is but the external reason for the Lord's incarnation. Please hear one other reason, the confidential reason for the Lord's appearance. The scriptures proclaim that Lord Krishna previously descended to take away the burden of the earth. To take away this burden, however, is not the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The maintainer, Lord Vishnu, is the one who protects the universe. But the time to lift the burden of the world mixed with the time for Lord Krishna's incarnation. When the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, all other incarnations of the Lord meet together within him. At that time, therefore, Lord Vishnu is present in the body of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna kills the demons through him. The Lord's desire to appear was born from two reasons. The Lord wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Thus, he's known as supremely jubilant and as the most merciful of all. So there's a short purport here I'm going to read. During the period of Lord Krishna's appearance, the killing of asuras or non-believers such as Kamsa and Jarasandha was done by Vishnu, who was within the person of Sri Krishna. Such apparent killing by Lord Sri Krishna took place as a matter of course and was an incidental activity for him. But the real purpose of Lord Krishna's appearance was to stage a dramatic performance of his transcendental pastimes at Vrajabhumi, thus exhibiting the highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. These reciprocal exchanges of mellows are called raga bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord in transcendental rapture. Lord Sri Krishna wants to make known to all the conditioned souls that he is more attracted to raga bhakti than vidhi bhakti, or devotional service under scheduled regulations. It is said in the Vedas, raso vaisaha, the absolute truth is a reservoir for all kinds of reciprocal exchanges of loving sentiments. He is also causelessly merciful, and he wants to bestow upon us this privilege of raga bhakti. Thus he appeared by his own internal energy. He was not forced to appear by any extraneous force. So this is where this verse comes in. There are many people who foolishly say that Srila Prabhupada gave us vaidhi bhakti and nothing more than that. So if you want to enter into raganuga bhakti, which is really the only way to attract Krishna, you have to go somewhere else. You have to go to a ragatmika, somebody who's practicing raganuga bhakti, and then they can you know, introduce you to Raganuga Bhakti and give you your Siddha Pranali, Siddha Day, and all this kind of stuff. So this foolishness has been prevalent in ISKCON since day one. It's not a new concoction, something people have been saying for ages. And so, but of course, those who are in knowledge of what Srila Prabhupada really brought to this world never bought that. They never bought that premise. And therefore, they've stuck to his lotus feet all these years. So Bhakti Charu Maharaj, wanting to dispel that doubt, especially for the newer devotees, even some older devotees are still confused about that, but especially for the newer devotees who are regularly victimized by people who approach them in this mood, that yes, you've joined ISKCON, and yes, they're teaching you Vaidhi Bhakti, but if you really want to learn Raganuga and you really want to attract Krishna, you have to come to this organization or you have to come to this personality. So to dispel that, Maharaj put on this seminar, Srila Prabhupada gave us everything. And he chose this particular verse that's on the board we can recite together. It's, as I said, it's from the Chaitanya Chandramrita, given by Prabodhananda Saraswati. And Prabhupada quoted actually several verses from this work. A couple of verses after this, text 90, he quotes that, Dante Nidaya, you know, I'm falling at your feet with a straw in my teeth, and I'm praying to you, hey, Sadhava, you're a great devotee, you're a great person, but please kick out all the things that you think you know and just try to understand Lord Chaitanya. This is two verses after this one. So we can recite together, Yata, Yata, Gora, Padaravinde, Vindeta, Bhaktim, Krita, Punya, Rashihi, Tata, Tatotsarpati, Hridi, Akasmad, Radha, Padampoja, Sudhambhu, Rasihi, Yata Yata Gora Padaravinde, Vinde Tabhaktim Kritapunya Rasihi, Tata tatot sarpati hridya kasmad Radha padham bhoja sudham burashihi Yatha yatha gora padhara vinde Vinde ta bhaktin krita punya rashihi Tata tatot sarpati hridya kasmad Radha padam bhoja sudham burashihi. Please chant. Yata tato sarpati hridya kasmad Radha padam bhoja siddham burashihi Yata yata gora padara vinde Vinde ta bhaktim krita punya rashihi Tata tato sarpati hridya kasmad Radha padam bhoja siddham burashihi Yata yata gora padara vinde Vinde tabaktim krita punya rashihi Tata tato sarpati hridya kasmad Radha padam bhoja siddham rashi Vaishnavis? Yata yata gora padara vinde Vinde tabaktim krita punya rashi Yata tato sarpati hridya kasmad Yada padam bhoja siddham varasi Okay, now the synonyms were actually done by Kushikrata Prabhu many years ago. But the translation that he wrote was a little bit not exactly right on. I discussed it with Dravida Prabhu, so if you go back and look at his book, you'll see that the translation I'm going to read is a little different from what he has there, but I think it gets the meaning across more clearly. But let's do the synonyms first. Yata, yata. To what extent? Gora. Of Lord Gora. Pada. Feet. Aravinde. Lotus. Vindeta. Finds. Bhaktim. Devotion. Krita. Performed. Punya. Of pious deeds. Rashihi. A host. Not like somebody hosting somebody else, but means like a large number. Like we say, a host of angels. So in this case, host means large number. Tata, tata. To that extent. Utsarpati. Arises. Hridi. In the heart. Akasmat. Spontaneously. Radha. Of Srimati Radharani. Pada, feet. Ambhoja, of the lotus. Sudhambu, of the nectar. Rashihi, of flood. So my tweaked translation for this verse is, to the extent that a person, and then parenthetically, who has performed heaps of pious activities, attains devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Gora, to that extent, the ocean of nectar from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani spontaneously floods his heart. Please repeat. To the extent that a person who has performed heaps of pious activities attains devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Gora, to that extent, the ocean of nectar from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani spontaneously floods his heart. So this is the point that the devotee raiders from other organizations are missing. Srila Prabhupada is coming in the line from Lord Chaitanya directly. And Lord Chaitanya certainly gave everything. He came, as we have heard, for external and internal reasons. And all of that, that whole package was understood by his immediate followers, the six Goswamis, and Swarup Damodar Goswami. All of them understood, the inner circle, they understood the external and internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And he certainly passed on that knowledge. The writings of the Goswamis touch on all aspects of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And that knowledge, as we know, has been distilled, condensed, passed down through Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to Srila Prabhupada. And he's given it to us in such a form that is easily digestible and easily understood, even by the distracted, crazy minds of Kali Yuga denizens. I've said this many times, some of you have probably read the incident, but Prabhupada once was approached by one of his disciples who said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is my favorite author. Prabhupada cut him off and said, no, I'm your favorite author. We don't have any right to jump over Prabhupada's head to go to his guru or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or the six. We cannot do that. Srila Prabhupada has taken all of that knowledge and condensed it and distilled it and handed it to us in the form of his books, Bhagavad Gita, As It Is, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, all of that knowledge is there. You can't even understand what Prabhupada has given us, or to speak of going somewhere else to find out more. That is a crazy mentality. That is really a crazy mentality. Is there anybody here sitting on this floor or on any chair on this floor that can tell me that they understand everything that Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita As It Is, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Shapanisha, Nectar of Instruction? Anybody here want to say that they know everything and they understand it all? Therefore, they have to go somewhere else to get higher explanation? Come, please, come and convince me. I am willing to sit down and talk to you. So, that's the first craziness, that you need to go to some other literature to find out something that's not in Prabhupada's literature. But beyond that, what they're not understanding is this point, the real point that this verse makes, and that Bhakti Charu Maharaj elaborated on in his seminar, is that, yes, we're being taught Vaidhi Bhakti, Bhakti following rules and regulations, but because it is coming in the line of Lord Chaitanya and it's being offered to Lord Chaitanya, then the reward is not the usual reward that you get for Vaidhi Bhakti. The usual reward of Vaidhi Bhakti for practicing Bhakti according to rules and regulations is that you actually go to Vaikuntha. That's how you get to Vaikuntha Dham. But in our line, we're not preaching Vaikuntha liberation. We're preaching love of Radha Krishna. We're preaching service to Radha Krishna. So how do you juxtapose those two? On the one hand, we're being strictly trained in the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. But on the other hand, we're being told that our ultimate reward is service to Radha and Krishna. So this verse explains that. That if you surrender to Lord Chaitanya wholeheartedly and you serve Lord Chaitanya's mission through, again, parampara, not jumping over to Lord Chaitanya, making yourself a Chaitanya Bhakti directly. That's not possible. But the mission of Lord Chaitanya has been given to us by his Mora Senapati Bhakta, that personality who was specifically chosen by Lord Chaitanya to spread his glories and to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world. That personality is undoubtedly Srila Prabhupada. Nobody in any other organization can argue with that. Everybody agrees. So Srila Prabhupada is giving us Vaidhi Bhakta in the mood of service to Lord Chaitanya, which then qualifies us to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani. This is what the verse is saying. Who is the topmost devotee of Krishna? Radharani. So if you serve Lord Chaitanya properly, following the instructions of his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, then you attract Radharani's attention. And spontaneously, that love springs up in your heart. And that's what attracts Krishna. Krishna is definitely not attracted by Vaidhi Bhakti. He says that himself. We heard that. He's not attracted. Doesn't mean that he doesn't recognize and, no. Obviously, somebody who's strictly following rules and regulations and practicing Vaidhi Bhakti is on a higher platform than a karma kanda person. The desire for fruitive activities when it's mixed with yoga becomes karma yoga. The desire for mental speculation when it's mixed with yoga becomes jnana yoga. But we're practicing bhakti yoga, which is supposed to be ultimately devoid of any jnana and karma and mystic perfections, etc., etc. So how do we get there? By practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, by attracting Srimati Radharani's attention. And we do that by satisfying Lord Chaitanya in parampara. And it's not difficult to do, Prabhupada said. It's not a difficult process. It's simple for the simple. It's difficult if you're crooked. If you're a simple person, Krishna consciousness, as delivered by Srila Prabhupada, means authorized service, basically in these three moods. Book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam. Anyone can do that, no matter how supposedly busy you are. You're working a full-time job, you have children to take care of, this, that. Anybody can take time out and chant Hare Krishna with the devotees, chant japa, can read Prabhupada's books, can distribute Prabhupada's books, keep a few books in the car, you meet somebody. Like Brooke Party was reminding us of the very famous mantra that Vaisheshika Prabhu is always promoting. Hi! Anybody can say hi. You approach somebody and say, hi, how are you? Hey, it's a nice suit you're wearing today, nice tie, a nice dress, whatever. And you give them a book. And you show them the pictures. As Brig was saying, the more he goes out, the more he realizes he doesn't have to say anything. Just give them the book. Put it in their hands. So Prabhupada set up the machinery that anybody can engage in these things. Book distribution, which also means book production. So if you're not so hot about going out on the street, like I've never been really a big time distributor myself, but I've married myself to the production side. So you can do that. Produce the books, distribute the books, go out on Harinam, distribute prasadam. Who doesn't like to eat? Everybody likes to eat. And we know that this prasadam, even though it looks on the surface like anything else that people can find anywhere, it's not the same. It's not the same. One, I've told the story many times, that one member that used to come to the temple, one day he said to me, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, sure. He said, can you explain to me why it is that we Indians are attracted to your Hare Krishna food? We can cook better than you. We make better puris, better dal, better rice. But why are we attracted to what you're making? I told him, you want to know? You really want to know? Because Krishna's saliva is there. It's offered with love and devotion to Krishna. And therefore, you're tasting Krishna prema to the extent that you've advanced. That's what you're tasting. It's not ordinary food anymore. It's not ordinary rice. It's not ordinary dal. And we all know. I mean, I was in India for crying out loud. I'm craving Govinda's dal and rice. It's not ordinary food. Many people think so. They're coming just to an ordinary vegetarian restaurant. But we know. Subhas can tell you. Today can tell you. Over the years, they get hooked. They keep coming week after week, month after month. Sometimes they come 7 days a week. They just can't get the taste out of their head. So it's not ordinary food. So we all can do that. Distribute prasadam individually, collectively. Distribute the holy name individually, collectively. Distribute Prabhupada's books individually and collectively. And if we do that, on the surface it seems like just bhakti, bhakti, rules and regulations, but it's not. That's what this verse is reminding us. And this is what the whole thrust of the seminar that Bhakti Charup so nicely put on was attended by all senior devotees, by the way, not just by newcomers. All senior devotees were there. All the senior sannyasis and gurus, they all came. Wonderful seminar. And, you know, he made a lot of points, especially he brought up the point that happened right here in New Dwarka, where Rameshwar was telling the devotees, the book distributors, that, you know, when you go out on book distribution, this is in the mood of the gopis. And some devotees didn't trust him, didn't believe him, thought he was making it up. So the whole thing went to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, this book distribution is strictly in the mood of the gopis. The gopis' mood is that they want to bring newer and newer people to Krishna. They're not satisfied just to be devotees of Krishna themselves. They always want to bring someone else to present to Krishna. So when we go out and distribute Krishna consciousness, that is the mood. It's in the mood of the gopis to bring new people to Krishna, bring new people to Lord Chaitanya's movement. And we know Lord Chaitanya was very, very happy. If somebody would, Nityananda himself went out with Haridas Thakur to beg people, please chant Hare Krishna. Jagai Madai, the painting is up there. He begged them, please chant Hare Krishna. They offended him. They hit him on the head with a pot, made him bleed. But still, he was begging, please chant Hare Krishna. So this is the mood of the gopis. This is the mood of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. This is not something that Prabhupada made up. If we follow Prabhupada's instructions and follow Prabhupada's movement as it is, don't change it in any way, then the day will come when the spontaneous love for Krishna coming through Srimati Radharani will become manifest in the heart. And even if it seems that it doesn't happen up to the point of death, there's another verse that I'm not remembering right now exactly where it is, that states that if the devotee tries to remember Krishna at the time of death, but he can't, Krishna himself personally comes just by your making the effort to remember Krishna at the time of your death. Krishna will come and manifest to you. So I made a point in the seminar, because this is something that, you know, I'm aware of, and many of you are aware of, especially those of you who were here in the early days, that the reason why this point keeps coming up about Siddha Deha, Siddha Pranali, is because foolishly people think that the highest perfection of love of Krishna is the gopis. Therefore, I have to be a gopi. I can't be anything else. I don't want to be a desire tree. I don't want to even be a cow. Maybe I don't even want to be a coward boy. I have to be a gopi. And therefore, I want to find somebody who's going to tell me you're a gopi. You see? And this was going on even when Prabhupada was here. We had the Gopi Baba Club right here on Watsika Avenue. Some of you may remember where male devotees so intent on becoming gopis that they were dressing up in saris. They thought that just by dressing up in saris, I can become a gopi after I leave this body. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. We simply have to surrender to Guru Gauranga, and leave it up to them. Whatever your original form is, it will be revealed to you. You don't have to worry about it. And you can't force the issue. Again, it's not that because I am so intent on becoming a gopi and I dress up like a gopi, therefore I have to be a gopi when I leave this body. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And this is really what pushes people to run away from Prabhupada's movement, because Prabhupada is not telling them that they're gopis. So I'll go somewhere where somebody will tell me that I'm a gopi, and then I'll feel that I'm liberated and I'm a gopi. But it doesn't work like that. You may even be a desire tree. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with that? You may be a flute. What's wrong with that? The gopis are envious of the flute. They're saying that Krishna's lips belong to us. So how is it this flute, who's actually a male, is always tasting the nectar of Krishna's lips all the time? So we, following Prabhupada's example again, we don't push that issue. We simply learn how to become good servants of our guru, and then everything is revealed. So we'll stop here. If there are any questions, comments? Balaram Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Krishna is a very big guy. He's the biggest. It's like I'm imagining if Obama was here, how would you guys react? How would you react? If actually I meet a general manager or a CEO, I act with respect. And I mean, we're talking about Krishna. How about you meeting Lord Jagannath, who's the CEO of the universe? He's the big guy. Everything from the hellish planets all the way up to the Brahmaloka, he controls this. He's the guy. And here is the guy who is playing his flute. Playing with the cows. And he's so loving and he sees you right there. Yeah. What would you tell him that you did for him? That's what's coming to my mind. What have I done for you? And you come here.
Thank you for bringing that up. This is something I almost forgot to touch on, because this is also going around Facebook. One devotee recently posted a picture. There was a little bush with a very big root. You know, it's like a cross section through the ground. So you see a little bush above ground, and underneath the ground, a huge root. And then you see a big tree above ground, and under the ground, just a little root. And he said, when the storm comes, the big tree with the little root generally gets blown over, and the little bush with the big root doesn't get knocked over. And that's compared to devotees, that there's so many little devotees that who are really deeply grounded in Krishna consciousness, but nobody notices them, and then there are so many so-called big devotees, but they're very shallow and they get knocked over. So I wrote to him and I said, point well taken, but there's another category that you've overlooked. Big tree with big roots. You see? Again, people like to generate all this dissension in the devotee community by these seemingly innocent little things that they put up. But we should understand, yes, they're all categories of devotees. There's also little bushes with little roots. They're all categories of devotees. And as time progresses, we're supposed to advance. So we may all start out as little bushes with little roots, and then the roots get deeper, and then the bush gets bigger. We should not be distracted by, you know, people who try to pull us this way and that way. If we simply stick to the process that Prabhupada has given us, then yes, you will continue to advance step by step. This painting right here, Prabhupada also pointed to that. He said that Krishna doesn't just embrace the gopis, he embraces the cows. You know, Krishna is completely equal. He's not just embracing the gopis, he embraces the cows, he embraces his coward boyfriends, he embraces the trees and creepers of Vrindavan. Krishna is equal to everyone. So, again, we should not be distracted by these people who, and I mean, I have to say it because it's a fact. Generally speaking, they don't have any potency to attract anybody on their own. So they come to ISKCON, the organization that they love to hate, and they try to pull away the people that we have attracted by our hard work. And I say we, I mean that. All of us. By our deity worship, by our maintaining Govindas, by our book distribution, we attract so many people to come to ISKCON. And then these other people come along, you know, for a free ride. You know, they don't have any potency to attract anybody, but they want to come to ISKCON and take them to something higher. So this is the point I'm trying to convince everybody today, and that Bhakti Shri Maharaj made that seminar. There is nothing higher than what Prabhupada gave. Everything is there. If you're not seeing it, it means that your eyes are covered and you should go somewhere where somebody can uncover your eyes for you. But everything is there. Prabhupada gave everything that we need from A to Z. Grantaraj Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.